reform and engage the bride of Christ. To stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom, we recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon-coming King awaits. Dr. June, I'm so excited to be with you again tonight. Listen, we are in the Thanksgiving season. Amen. We are 1 week away from Thanksgiving. And today, let's give God thanks for everything that He has done in our lives, what He's doing in our ministries, and what He is doing across the globe. Amen. We look up. We don't look to the right or the left. We look to where our hope comes from. Amen. Listen, today we are honored to host an author, prophet, apostle, Pastor Bill Jenkins from Indianapolis, Indiana. How you doing, sir?
Oh, Dr. June, I'm doing good. You got my spirit stirred. I feel the fire of God coming from you, and I'm believing God for a great program tonight.
Yes, amen. Yes, the fires are blazing across the earth. You know, you done opened up a can of worms. We're going to have to follow the Holy Spirit, because listen, we know all the people that are intercessors that hear the voice of God know that there is a shaking on the earth today. There is a great move of God that's already started across the earth, and it's different than what we've ever known with Azusa Street and with Canada and with Brownsville and all the other revivals. It's actually birthing revival fires in God's people. It is spreading inside the people. Amen.
Amen. I love that, because you're seeing the same thing that God's been placing on my heart. And I believe the waters are being stirred, and now is the season for us to not just stay in ankle-deep water, knee-deep water, or waist-deep water. Matter of fact, it's time we stop trying to hold the water and let the water hold us. These are days of revival.
These are
the days of the Spirit. And these are the days
Lord.
That I believe God is moving in a mighty way.
Listen, God is moving and the rivers are flowing. He wants the rivers to flow even more through His people. Hallelujah. Okay, now getting back to the schedule, because I can tell this is going to be an awesome program. Now, I'm going to read a little bit of his professional bio, and then we're going to find out the real meat of who this man is. Pastor Bill Jenkins is the founder and senior pastor of the Church of Acts, as well as a television and radio host. Rapidly becoming known as an apostle of God with a prophetic voice, he works to release a message of hope in our world. With deep spiritual revelation and insight from God's Word, Pastor Bill takes the toughest passages of Scripture and explains them in a practical and interesting way. He is the go-to guy when it comes to understanding the biblical numbers and their spiritual significance. A devoted husband and father, his passion is for others to become successful as they apply the principles of Christ. Amen, sir. Now listen, all of the ministers that we have on the broadcast, we ask them if they don't mind being transparent with the bride, because this broadcast is called We Are the Bride. It's revealing to the earth how God can take any person, no matter what they have done, if they will surrender their life and turn it around and do something great to help others. So what did God do to bring you to this point now?
Wow, there's so many things, Dr. June, that, you know, the Lord has, you know, brought me out of. One of the biggest things is when I was a kid, my father was an alcoholic. He was drunk for 15 years. He abused my mother. My mother raised me, but even though my father had some rough times, my mother always encouraged me to spend time with my dad, get to know him. And, you know, I love my dad. We had a good relationship. I don't have any scars from that, but I'm thankful that the Lord protected me even when I was a child. God gave me a great mother who really raised me, really taught me some things about life and about love. I tell people that my first love was my mom. I don't mean to be weird or strange about that, but my mother taught me how to love. She taught me what love was all about, and she raised me. She did her very best. She showed up at every game and every sporting event that I had. She was always a part of, always there to be my biggest cheerleader, and she really taught me how to be the kind of person that I feel like God would be pleased with. And so through the struggles, through the different things that I've gone through in my life, you know, the words of my mother always remain constant. She's passed on. She's with the Lord now, but there's many things that she taught me years ago that I still hold on today and put into practice when I'm trying to be a good husband and a good father for my children.
Right.
So these are really, you know, for me, you know, it's not just about the things that I went through that God delivered me from, but it's the things that God kept me from, because I had a mother that really kind of overprotected me in some ways.
Yeah.
And we went to church one day, and I remember I was so scared. These people were shouting and praising God and just having a good old time in church, and it really scared me. And so I remember going home, and when I was at home all day long, when I look back now, I know it was the Lord just speaking to me and sharing with me that there were things that those people had that I didn't have, freedom that they had in their hearts that I didn't know anything about. And I remember after the Lord had really convicted my heart for several hours on Sunday afternoon, I told my mom, I said, listen, we need to go back to that church tonight because I need to get saved. I need to give my life to the Lord. God's got a plan for my life, and I want to go back to church. And so we went to church. I gave my life to the Lord that night. The Lord really revealed his prophetic plan to me for my life. And I tell you what, I've been trying to serve him the best that I can with all of my heart, being on fire for him, pulling down the devil's kingdom and building the kingdom of God ever since. So I'm excited. I'm on fire for God. My heart's desire is to get the word of cross to people, to encourage them, to inspire them, and to truly release something good in their life. I'm a believer that when God wants to give a healing, a miracle, a blessing, he doesn't just give those things, but he gives a word in advance of releasing those things. And it's what we do with that word that determines the difference between success and failure. And so I'm a word guy. I believe in the word. I believe in, you know, calling things that are not as though they were, speaking forth the word of God and allowing God to cause great things to come to pass in our lives.
Yes, taking our dominion. Amen.
Amen. Taking dominion. You know, dominion is the key, you know, to victory in our lives. If there's more of us than there is of the enemy, guess who wins? We win. So I believe that reproduction is the key to dominion. So we need to be out there reproducing. Because the key to dominion is reproduction. We need to be reproducing after our kind, after the kind of the Lord, telling people, declaring the word, speaking the truth, and then allowing God to do a work in their life as well.
Yes. Now, I noticed on your Twitter account, tell us what the name of your Twitter is.
The Twitter is at P. Bill Jenkins. So if anybody wants to follow me, I release a little word, a little nugget every single day. They can go to at P. Bill Jenkins and follow me there on Twitter.
And P is in pastor, B is in the word Bill Jenkins.
Yes, ma'am.
P. Bill Jenkins. Listen, Bride, you've got to hear what he has as his acronym for Acts. Tell us what the Church of Acts means.
Well, I figured you would like this because you're full of fire. But back when the Lord had given me the idea of going to Indianapolis and starting the church, there was all kinds of other names that I had in mind. But he said, I want you to call it the Church of Acts. And I said, well, Lord, you know, why the Church of Acts? You know, that's a lot of responsibility, boy.
Right.
That's a big name to live up to, you know. And he had me read through the book of Acts every week for 1 year, so I read four chapters in the book of Acts every day, 7 days. You get through the whole book in a week, and I did that for a whole year. And then he released to me what Acts stood for, and I said, well, all right, well, here it is. So Acts is an acronym that stands for Anointed Christians Tormenting Satan, and I believe that is our call. That's our job. You know, we allow
Isn't
the devil
awesome,
to torment
bud?
Us. We allow the devil to beat us up one side and down the other. But these are the days when we need to draw a line in the sand, point our finger in the enemy's face, declare to the enemy that, you know, greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world, and go on the offensive, you know. Quit standing by taking punches, getting punch drunk all the time, and start going after the enemy and let him know we're going to make him sorry that we're even on his radar. We're going to be anointed Christians, not annoying Christians. But anointed Christians that are going to torment him and make him sorry that we are living, breathing children of the King.
Yes, Lord. Okay, we're going to kind of shift gears a little bit, Pastor. Before we get started in your book, because, oh, my Lord, this may end up a two-hour broadcast. Y'all don't know what we're in for. But I have to ask you this that I ask all of our guess because it's so important in today's times. We do have a lot of the bride that the enemy is trying to come on them with fear based upon the the circumstances that are in the earth today. Now, if you had 5 minutes to talk to the bride and either give them a warning or an exhortation, because I know we're going to get into a lot of this in your prophetic almanac book, but in 5 minutes, what would you say?
Well, I guess if I had 5 minutes left in all of mankind to live and to breathe, the one word that I would want to get across is that whatever you feed will grow, whatever you starve will die. Don't let the enemy take your passion for and from God. We need to be pursuing God. These are the days. These are strategic days in the spirit when we need to have an all-out pursuit for God. I love that you're talking about the bride of Christ and not just the body of Christ. Because although we're part of the body of Christ, it's that bride of Christ that really is what Jesus is going to come back after. And so he's going to come back after a church that's really pursuing him. He's going to come back after a people that is really, you know, dedicated their entire lives. They're not playing games. They're not yanking God's chain. They're not up and down, in and out, hot and cold. But they are fully committed to pursuing God with everything in their life. You know, the one thing the devil wants to do is he wants to divert us off of our purpose. He doesn't want us to understand our purpose. He doesn't want us to know why we were created. He doesn't want us to know why we were born. That is greatest threat that we can impose upon the enemy is when we know our purpose and when we're pursuing our purpose, when we're out there trying to do whatever we can to build the kingdom of God, that's when we become the greatest threat to the enemy. And so we've got to stay strong. So every time we pray for somebody, give somebody a scripture, do something kind, anytime there's a pull or a demand on the anointing inside of us, and you know what? We've got to make sure we go back to the Lord and replenish those things that we either freely gave or that were forcefully taken from us in this thing called life. And we've got to feed ourselves on the things of God and starve ourselves on the things of this world. Not let our minds, not let our thoughts rule us, but allow the Spirit of God to truly have control of every part of our life. And so I guess the last word, if I had one to give, would be to encourage people to feed yourself. Whatever you feed will grow. Whatever you starve will die. So quit feeding yourself on negative things. Quit feeding yourself on the things of this world. Quit allowing discouragement and things you see control what comes out of your mouth and the thoughts that you think. And allow God to cause you to believe that he is big, that he is awesome. You know, the one thing, I guess, that we've got to do is we've got to magnify God. Now, when you magnify something, You know, the object doesn't get bigger. What happens is the perception of that object gets bigger. So most of the time our problems come not because of the problems we face, but because of the perception of the problem we have. If
right.
we can allow our focus to be on magnifying God, then God doesn't get bigger, but our perception of him does. And so if we can get a picture that God is bigger than any mountain, any problem, any situation, any devil, in hell, anything that may arise,
Lord.
Then you know what? That magnification of God is going to cause us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So we've got to feed ourselves. If we're going to magnify God, feed yourselves, get in the scripture, pray, hang out with the right people, declare things that are not as though they were. And those are the kind of things that will cause you to feed yourself on God so that you can grow, magnify him, be all that God wants you to be, and be successful in every area of your life. So that's the key. Whatever you feed will grow. Whatever you starve will die.
Yes. That is such a good word, Pastor. Listen, I know you don't know me, but I've been on a summer tour since June, and I've been traveling and ministering in these, like, revival centers, and the bride is so tainted, and it's because a lot of them don't understand the vomit that comes from the media and comes from advertising and, you know, receiving that in their temples. Now, the reason I say that is because I have a master's degree in corporate communications, and I studied media in London under the top three firms, so I'm trying to, you know, write books and, you know, tell people, you know, to pay attention to this because all it's doing is throwing vomit inside, and we need to not, you know, plug into the spirit of Antichrist. You know, we need to plug into the Word and plug into holy. The Bible says, whatsoever things are pure, holy, and just, think on those things. And that's why, is because we taint our temple, you know?
Yes. And I like to say it like this, you know, whatever you sow is what you're going to reap. It's a spiritual, supernatural law. And so if you sow a thought, you're going to reap an action.
Yes.
If you sow an action, you're going to reap a habit. So a habit, you'll reap a character. So a character, you'll reap a destiny. So your thoughts determine your destiny. It's important and vital to us that we take captivity over those thoughts, because ultimately our thoughts will control and dictate and determine our destiny. So you put bad in, bad's going to come out. You put good in, then good is going to come out. So you got to feed yourself on the good things so that you can make sure that you get the good things out.
Yes, okay. Now, we're going to take a quick little commercial break, and when we come back, we are going to talk about his book, Bride. You are going to love this, the new prophetic almanac for 2016. One moment. Bride, are you a writer, or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Rob, we're back. This is Dr. June with Pastor Bill Jenkins. Now listen, I'm going to read a little bit about the new Prophetic Almanac 2016, Information, Inspiration, and Divine Revelation. The new Prophetic Almanac 2016 is the first publication in a visionary series. It offers a fresh view of the times and seasons we are in, and will help you become more aware of God's Word and the many significances of it in the current year. In this book, you will learn the prophetic plan of God for 2016, how the number 16 is connected to your success, important numbers, colors, and names to watch for during the year, biblical knowledge that will rekindle your fire for God, what it means to be born on the 16th day of the month, scriptures that will elevate you to another level of favor. We all need favor. Fun facts concerning the number 16, the 2016 spiritual forecast for all 50 states in America. Sir, before you get started on this, you know, when you're in college, you learn that you have literature and history, those type of learners, and then you have math and science. Obviously, you're a math and science person. What in the world got you interested in numbers, and how did you relate that to biblical events?
Well, I think what I do is every year I like to release a prophetic word for my church, because I believe without a vision the people perish.
Yes,
and so I really felt led of the Lord over the past few years to study the different numbers that are attached to a specific year. And so for 2015, I released a book entitled 15. The book is still out there. It's a great book. There's still enough time left in 2015 for you to, you know, get prepared for what God wants to do in the coming year. But I love to look at numbers in the Bible and then lay out the references of Scripture. And then when I lay them out, see what some of those key points are. See what some of the consistency is that it revolves around when it's mentioned in the Bible. And then when I do that, then it helps to reveal some of the things, give some of the insight as to what I believe God wants us to know for that coming year. So I've been doing this for several years, but this is just something that, you know, God has given me to be able to expand upon, to be able to bless, you know, the body and the bride of Christ, to help them to truly get to a level of prosperity that they may not be able to get to without it. So it's just good information, inspiration, divine revelation based upon, for this prophetic almanac, number 16 for 2016.
Yes, now let me ask you this. I've heard so many prophecies that we are actually in the year of Jubilee. Can you explain that? It has to do with numbers somehow.
Yeah, Jubilee is just representative of, you know, that season, that time where after, you know, the 6 years where they sowed, then they would rest the 1 year. You do that for seven, you know, cycles, which would be the 49th year or the 50th year would be that year where, you know, it would be the Jubilee. Every Jubilee, there was three main things that happened. All slaves were freed. All stolen property had to be returned, and there was great blessing that was released. And so every Jubilee, every 50 years, so to speak, there is that releasing of the slaves, that returning of the property, and that, you know, giving of that supernatural blessing of God. So I believe that we have the potential to walk in and underneath that cloud at all times. You know, these are days when God wants to set the captive free, when he wants us to understand we have a right to have everything that was stolen, taken away from us, or freely given up, returned back to us. And I believe God wants to bless us. I got three boys. I want them to be better off than I was. God wants us to have great things in our lives. He's a good God. He's not good and bad. He's not, you know, good one day and bad the next. He's not a schizophrenic God. He is good at all times. And so he wants good things for us. So these are the days. These are a season. This is a strategic time when God wants to set the captives free. He wants to return that property that was stolen and release blessings and miracles in our lives.
Amen. Well, let me ask you this. For the state of Tennessee, I'm in Tennessee, Nashville. What is significant for us in 2016?
Well, here's the thing, because that's such a great question, and it's awesome that you're in Tennessee, because what you may not know is that Tennessee is one of the key states, if not the key state, in 2016. I believe there's going to be all kinds of great things coming from Tennessee, and let me tell you why. Tennessee is, do you know Tennessee is the 16th state that was brought into, you know, the Union? So Tennessee is not an insignificant state. Tennessee is going to be a very strategic state that I believe is going to cause revival to be released throughout America. I believe it's a hub for 2016. And I give in my book, The New Prophetic Almanac, I give, you know, a scripture. I give something for them to pray for. Then I release a prophetic word. But for the state of Tennessee, we all know it's known as the volunteer state. But the scripture that God gave me for Tennessee is found in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. The Bible says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." I believe that 2016 is important in the state of Tennessee because it is the 16th state, and I believe God is going to bring greatness from that state. God's going to blow your mind as to what he's going to do in and through you in the coming year. He's going to give you exceedingly abundant. You're not just going to have an average blessing. It's going to be an above average blessing. It's going to blow your mind to what God is going to do. Some of the dreams and promises that God has released years ago that perhaps have been stifled or have not yet come to pass, I believe are going to be fulfilled in the coming year. And guess what? There's nothing the enemy is going to be able to do to stop it, because this is a divine plan of God. This is ordained by God from the beginning of time that this is a year for fulfilling of things in the state of Tennessee. So I don't care if it's businesses, personal lives, marital lives, in your families, in ministry, whatever it may be, it's a year of fulfillment when God is going to cause those things that he promised to come to pass in your lives. And then the prophetic word that I release for Tennessee is that you are the 16th state, and this is your year. Great things are going to come from Tennessee, even from the midst of tragic events. Look for Memphis to be in the national spotlight. For Memphis was a city in Egypt in Hosea chapter 9, verse 6. So beware that you don't let Egypt get inside of you. Be in the world, but not of the world. Tennessee will provide a lot of talking points for the national media and will even draw worldwide attention. Look for some of the year's biggest news to come straight from this state. You are a bridge to the north, to the south, to the east, and the west. And I am catapulting you into a position of honor. Take advantage of my favor that rests upon you throughout this year. And I declare, shine, Tennessee, shine. Watch for a sign on June 16, 2016, and study Romans to find keys that will unlock your doors of victory in the coming year. So I believe this is a year when Tennessee, out of all the 50 states, is going to be that number one highlighted state out of all the 50 states. And the one prayer that God told me to put in there for Tennessee to pray is pray for contentment, pray against greed, pray that God will give you just a calmness, an evenness, a balance, a steadiness, a contentment with where you're at. God's going to thrust you forward and give you more than what you've ever gotten in your life in this coming year. But learn to be content with where you're at, what you have, and by how far God has brought you. But get ready, because 2016 is Tennessee's year.
Amen. Now, is there any way I could ask you about Mississippi?
You certainly can. I put a prophecy in here for every single state, so I've already got it lined out. So
yeah, Mississippi would be the last one I'd ask you about today.
That's okay. Mississippi is known as the Magnolia State, and Isaiah 40, verse 31 is the scripture. So the scripture, you all know it, very famous scripture, but the Bible declares they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But notice the key. You got to wait on the Lord. Now, that waiting there is not a sitting there and doing nothing. When you look up that Hebrew word wait, it literally means to serve. You know, if you go to a restaurant, you want a waiter and a waitress who pays attention to you. You want somebody who, you know, knows when you're out of a drink, knows when you want something else. They're there before you even think about needing it. They're there to take care, to provide that for you. And so when we wait on the Lord, that waiting is a working while we wait, a working while we're watching, a not, you know, doing nothing, not a laziness, not a twiddling of our thumbs and allowing God to do it all, but a working for God until God shows up to change the atmosphere, turn the tide, and shift the circumstances on our behalf. And the prophetic word that I release for the state of Mississippi is to remain faithful to the original instruction I have put upon this people. You know, we get sidetracked. We create Ishmaels when we don't follow God's original instructions. So God is commanding us to be faithful to follow the original instruction. Don't divert to the left or to the right, but stay focused on being in the center of what I have called you to do. Love will flow from Mississippi throughout the South and touch others beyond your expectations. So I don't know what's going to happen. You know, God gives directions, but he doesn't give all the details. But God is saying, I'm going to help you to touch others beyond your expectations. So Mississippi is going to have its hand extended in the coming year. God said, I'm causing you to excel and go beyond the average. So God isn't wanting us to settle for average. If people live in the state of Mississippi, they're not going to be average. You're not going to be able to settle for average. God's going to stretch you. God's going to pull you. God's going to put a demand on you. The anointing is going to be, you know, the release of the anointing is going to be putting a demand on you. You're going to have to stretch yourself. You're going to have to come out of your box. You're going to have to do things differently. You can't just do things the way you've always done them and expect
great success.
So God is saying this is your leap year because 2016 is a leap year. We get one more day. It's unusual in and of the fact that it is a leap year, 2016. So God is saying you're not just going to take steps. You're going to take leaps in 2016. This is your leap year that will last for several years to come. So whatever happens in 2016 is going to extend beyond the borders of the year. So you're going to notice an impact for what's going to happen in Mississippi in 2016 for years to come. For God will promote and he will exalt this state in 2016. So that's the word of God for Mississippi. And the prayer is just for us to pray for faithfulness, us to stay connected to God, because as we're connected, that's our source of success for the coming year.
Wow, that is awesome. I'm going to ask you one more question about your book, and then we would love for you to preach to the bride whatever the Holy Spirit gives you. Amen.
Oh, absolutely.
Writing a book, there are so many different authors out there that are scared to write because, I mean, especially with us that are ministers, we want to make sure that the words that are released in the book is what the Holy Spirit would be pleased with. You know, like, we don't want ourselves in there. We want what the anointing is and what he wants out there. So would you mind explaining to any future authors that are listening to this broadcast, what is your process of writing a book? Like, how do you sit down with the Holy Spirit and just say, anoint me to write this book, or how do you do it?
Well, here's the thing. I think, you know, you have to feel that call, that specific unction to function, that anointing to be able to do it. And then what you got to do is you just got to start somewhere. You know, don't let it become overwhelming. Don't let it become, you know, something that is a burden. When I wrote my book, 15, and 15 is a great book for people to get that can really be a great compliment to the New Prophetic Almanac for 2016. You'll love this, but God told me, he said, what I want you to do is just go get alone. And I got alone with the Lord, and believe it or not, Dr. June, in 5 days, writing the book in longhand, just by taking a pen and putting words down on paper, I had written a book entitled 15. For 15 to 20 hours a day, under the, you know, anointing of the Lord, I was writing this book out. So it's different in every book. When I wrote 15, it took me 5 days. It was done 15 days. That book was published. Now, with this book, the New Prophetic Almanac for 2016, I did it in little chunks. I did it in, you know, little pieces. So, you know, I would take a chapter, get it done, and the Lord would give me another chapter, and I would just build upon it, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. So there's all kinds of different ways. I don't know if there's a right and a wrong way.
Right.
Just the way that God puts it upon your heart. So don't allow fear to cause you not to get started. Just get started. Even if you don't have everything, you know, from A to Z, every I dotted, every T crossed, start somewhere. You may get a little chapter here, then God may expound upon it, give you another chapter. You may have the idea of a title of a book. You may have all the main points out. There may be one theme. Whatever it is, just get started. And I believe when you get started, you know, God can't give you A to Z until you go from A to B. Then you go from B to C. Then you go from, C to D. So it's steps. So don't try to bite off more than you can chew because it can be overwhelming. Just start where you're at. Let God expand upon it, but get started, and allow God to put the thoughts that he puts in your head on paper so that you can get it out to other people and make a difference in their lives. It's so crucial. If you're going to be an author, the whole heart of being an author is not just to write a book so you get another notch in your belt, but it's really to get the information that God gave you out to others, because if it's done good for you, it can really do good for others as well.
Yes, I have two authors that are about to release books, and I tell them one of them is going to be a controversial book, and I tell them, listen, all you're doing is releasing on paper what the tree of life, what God has given you and downloaded this revelation to you, all you are required to by God is to release what he gives you and put it out there. Now, what God does with it once it gets out there is up to him. You obeyed, amen?
Right, that's exactly true, because, our job, if we've been given a prophetic word, is to give it. Our job isn't to figure it out. I mentioned a moment ago, God can give direction, but he doesn't always give the details, and that can drive us crazy, because most of us want everything figured out before we do it, but we're not Alpha and Omega. He is. So you get started. You put your trust in him, and then when you get started, he knows the beginning from the end. He knows what you need to do. You can figure it out, but he doesn't always give the details. If he did, it wouldn't require faith. So, God gives direction, but then he always gives the details later, because he wants us to constantly, be trusting in him, have faith in him, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. If we're going to move the Lord, we don't move God with our words. We don't move God with our tears. We don't move God with our emotions. We move God with our faith, and it takes faith to have direction but not have all the details. So just trust the Lord, get started, and know that God will ultimately fill in all the details if you'll just put one foot in front of the other and get started.
Amen. Okay, we're going to take a quick little commercial break, and then we're going to hear what the Holy Spirit's going to say through you. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Reflecting your vision properly through the web? Do you have a website and maximizing on social media platform? Now listen, your online presence is as vital as your personal presence. Visions Communication can help you achieve that vision. We will take your vision and creatively express it to the world. We will partner with you today to reach your perfect target audience, which is souls. Contact us today at www.govisions.us and present your vision to the world in the best way. Amen. This is your host, Dr. June. We are here today with Pastor, Prophet, Apostle Bill Jenkins. Okay, sir, we're going to allow you to release it, so go for it. The floor is yours.
Wow, that's such a privilege. I just really love your heart. I love your spirit. I love what you're doing. And I'm just believing God to do great things and even cause great promotion to come into your life, and really appreciate the opportunity to release the word that God gave me as I wrote this book, The New Prophetic Almanac for 2016. It includes so many different things, including how 16 will, cause you to be successful. We'll look at different numbers, colors, names. We'll talk about movies that are going to be released in the coming year that God, I believe, will have a message in it for you. We'll look at the color of the year, the animal of the year, the fruit of the Spirit of the year, the gift of the Spirit of the year. We're going to talk about so many things. We're just going to help you to rekindle your fire for the Lord. Even if you're out there and you've been born on the 16th day of a month, we're going to tell you what that means for you and then release a specific word for all people born on the 16th day of a month. We're going to give you some scriptures because without the word, we're nothing. We're going to give you every 16 scripture of the Bible. So every chapter 16 in the Bible, verse 16, we're going to release that verse. We're also going to go book by book, and every book that has a chapter 16, we're going to release a prophetic word based upon the story, the individual, people, the meaning. We're going to give you a specific word for every chapter 16
that is awesome.
In the Bible. We're going to give you fun facts concerning the number 16, whether it be political facts, historical facts, entertainment facts, sports facts, and even biblical facts for the number 16. And then we're going to give you the spiritual forecast for all 50 states that I believe you're going to love, you're going to want to get, you're going to want to know how to pray for your state in the coming year. Now, one of the main things that you're going to want to get this book is because you're going to want to know the prophetic plan of God for the coming year. What I love to do is I love to study numbers, and I studied the number 16. Now, there are 31,102 verses in the King James Version of the Bible. So 31,102 verses, and the number 16 is mentioned 26 times. And it's from those 26 verses that I believe we can gain some clues on what God is wanting to reveal in his prophetic plan to set us up for success in the coming year. Now, this is not numerology, not a trust in numbers. It's simply an interesting way to gain some insight and more and help us to more thoroughly understand the intent of God for the coming year. And so I laid the 26 verses out in the Bible that mentioned the number 16. And when I did that, I found that it revolved around four main things that I believe will cause greatness to come into our life, cause us to be elevated, and cause the prophetic plan of God to come to pass in the coming year. Now, keep in mind that Psalm 25, verse 14 declares, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant." So this isn't some strange thing that God wants to reveal to his church. As a matter of fact, Amos chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing but that he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets, first." So, you know, we need to do that. According to Jeremiah 33, verse 3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not." So the Lord wants to reveal some things, and we're going to look at this number 16. You see the number 16 mentioned those 26 times. It revolves around four main themes. Now, let me give them to you, and then we'll come back and talk about them for a couple of minutes each. But first of all, when you see the number 16, it revolves around marriage and family. It's got to be a year we focus in on our marriages and in on our families. It's also a year of dominion, a year when we've got to begin to dominate those things that have dominated us. It also revolves around maturity or a coming of age. 16 is key. It's crucial when it comes to maturing. So it's got to be a year we grow up before we go up. And then last of all, it revolves around love. When you see 16 in the Bible, it revolves around love. So these four things give us a fourfold vision that we need to focus in on in the coming year. First of all, marriage and family. Now, nothing is more important than our families.
Yes.
We've been pulled in so many directions, you know, that our close relationships at times sometimes get put on the back burner in an effort for us to get ahead or to please somebody else. But this is a year that our focus must be on our family. I mentioned to you a minute ago, whatever you feed will grow, whatever you starve will die. Well, if you want your family to grow, then you got to feed that by spending time with your family. More than half of the 26 references of the number 16 revolve directly to our marriages and our family. As a matter of fact, just go to Genesis and count the 16th time that Noah is mentioned in Scripture. And you'll find that the 16th time Noah is mentioned is in Genesis 7:9, where the Bible says they went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God commanded Noah. Now, believe it or not, this is a direct reference to marriage. Even when you study the number 16, the Hebrew word for 16 is made up of two Hebrew letters, Yod Vav, Y-O-D with a slash, and then V-A-V, Yod Vav, and it represents the hand of God that joins two people as one. Now, do you think that's coincidence? Well, I don't either. 16 literally means the hand of God that is joining two people as one. Mark chapter 10, verse 9 declares, what God has joined together, let no man separate. It also says in Ecclesiastes 4:9, that two are better than one. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 32, verse 30, that one shall chase 1,000, but two shall chase 10,000. So God is joining us together. He wants us to put a focus on the relationships that really matter because he wants to increase our success. I've been married for 17 years, got a beautiful wife. We've had three kids together, three boys, 15, 13, and 11. They're a handful, but I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what I would do without them. I love them. I love to spend time with them. Even after 17 years, I date my wife every week. We spend time together. We have family time together. I coach my kids' teams. We go to church, obviously, together. We feed that because I believe if you will spend time with your family and feed your family, it will grow. And one great thing I'm going to do in my new prophetic almanac is I'm going to give you a way to develop a family mission statement. So I'm going to give you 8 questions, how to make your family stronger, how to make your marriage more successful, how to be a better father, how to be a better mother, how to have a family that's going to represent God, that's going to cause others to be drawn unto the Lord and the power of his might. I'm going to ask you questions that you got to answer, like, what is the expectation of my partner? What is the expectation of the children? Everybody ought to have some expectations put in place upon them. If you don't, guess what? If you expect nothing, you get nothing. We also want to talk about boundaries that we're going to have because boundaries, you know, help keep things in that we want to keep in and help keep things out that we want to keep out. We're going to talk about principles that we want to teach our kids and how are we going to resolve conflict. Who's going to do certain things? How are we going to deal with extended families and friends and in-laws? What traditions are we going to create? So we're going to help you how to develop, how to establish, and how to maintain a strong family in the coming year of 2016. But again, 16 also revolves around dominion. When you talk about dominion, it's about supremacy. The dominion is defined as the power to rule a particular parcel of land. Now, that land could be as simple as guarding your heart as the verse is ruling a kingdom. So we've got to understand God may want us to rule over something, but he first wants us to rule our own hearts and lives first. Even Nike's got a commercial out right now that's talking about ruling yourself. So instead of trying to point the finger at everybody and tell them what's wrong with them, draw a circle around yourself and allow God to have you control your own habits, your own hurts, and your own hang-ups. I'm going to give you 16 personal keys to personal dominion in the coming year. So I'm going to give you some keys on how to obtain personal dominion in your life. I'm going to talk about different things in here, how we got to keep on learning, care enough to get involved, make some goals, set some deadlines, seek wise counsel, and then learn how to apply that wise counsel to our lives. If you're ever going to attain personal dominion, you're not going to do it alone. You can't be afraid to fail. You got to think before you speak, and you got to pursue your passions. But again, I'm going to give you 16 personal keys to dominion that is going to set you up for the coming year. I'm also want you to know that the third thing that 16 revolves around is a coming of age. Now, when I speak of coming of age, I'm talking about a maturity, because coming of age is referring to a young person's transition from childhood to adulthood. Now, that age may vary, but most people would probably agree that that period begins around 16. You know, 16 is the age where it's the middle point of your teen years, where emotionally, physically, There ought to be some maturity that has begun. Now, at 16 in America, you get to do things that you haven't been able to do before. You can obtain a driver's license. You can donate blood with consent. You can get a worker's permit to work full-time. You can apply for legal aid. You can even get married with consent and join a trade union at 16. So 16 is important. And Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Well, these have got to be days that we put away some childish things. And I love to tell people, you know, all the time, Dr. June, that what they need to do is understand the difference between an adult and a baby. Here's the difference. If you ever want to know the difference between an adult and a baby, here's a simple way to figure it out. Adults work, babies create work. So if you want to know if you're a spiritual adult or a spiritual baby, just ask yourself, am I working or am I creating work? Because if you're a spiritual adult, you ought to be working to build the kingdom. If you're a baby, then guess what? You're causing work. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a baby if you're a baby, but if you ought to be more mature further along, if you ought to be, you know, more grown up than what you are, and you've been around a long time, but yet you're refusing to spiritually grow up, there's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with a 20-year-old still drinking a bottle and wearing a diaper. You've got to grow up. You've got to understand these are days of maturity that God wants us to mature, to grow up, and to allow those things that we have been taught to take hold in our lives. And the last thing that 16 revolves around is love. Now, love is a word that has been overused in a lot of people's lives. Matter of fact, it's a word that's been abused. Love has a lot of different meanings. We know that there's a phileo love, a friendship love, an eros love, or an erotic love. But the kind of love that I believe God wants us to release is a godly love, or an agape love in our lives. The number 16 is connected to agape love. The book of John uses the Greek word agape, or divine love, exactly 16 times. And when you read 1 John and you count the 16th time love is used, you'll find that it's 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 that says perfect love casts out all fear. Now you say, well, what is perfect love? What is agape love? Well, you look no further than 1 Corinthians 13. And guess what? There are 16 characteristics of agape love in 1 Corinthians 13. I list them for you in my book because love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't envy. Love doesn't brag about itself. Love is humble. It never behaves inappropriately. It's not selfish. It's not easily provoked. It doesn't think evil. It isn't suspicious. It hates sin. It rejoices in truth. And I go on to list the entire 16 characteristics of agape love that we read about in 1 Corinthians 13. Now, I believe there's a lot of things we can focus in on, but these are the four things that God wants to get our attention on. He wants us to be specifically geared towards making sure these four things are a part of our life. When you see 16 in the Bible, it revolves around marriage and family. When you see 16 in the Bible, it revolves around dominion. It revolves around taking authority over your flesh. When you see 16, it revolves around maturity. We've got to grow up. We can't be spiritually immature all the days of our life. We can't just hear a good word. We got to put it into practice in our lives. And then it also revolves around love. And we've got to learn how to love the unlovable, learn how to love those who don't love us back, learn how to love those who disagree with us and we disagree with them. Because the bottom line is, you don't have to agree with people. They don't have to agree with you to show them the love of God. And when you show them the love, I believe doors will open for us to talk about Jesus, share the word, and be able to make a difference in their life. And maybe their life can change because we initially start a relationship where we're showing love regardless of what they look like, what they've done, where they've been, how many bad things they've done, and we're just loving them because God loves them and God loves us. So those four things are the key to success that we have to focus in on in 2016.
Wow. That is a mouthful, amen.
Amen, that is a mouthful.
And I can imagine how much meat is actually in that book. I mean, if that's just a taste of it, I can imagine what is in the
full book. Yeah, that's just
a
handful of pages. You have 180 pages. I'm going to give you specific dates, and as I mentioned to you a moment ago, I'm going to release a word. It's like a sermon. It's like a message. It's like a devotional for every chapter 16 in the Bible. We're going to study it. We're going to look at it. We're going to release a word. If there's a pastor out there and you've had the flow of God stop, I'm telling you, this is going to release such a flow. It's going to flood your life with the good things of God. It's going to release prophetic words that are practical, interesting, and encouraging to help you to be able to develop messages, get sermons, and hear from God so that you can release it into other people's lives and be an encouragement to them.
Yes, Lord. Okay, listen, Pastor, we asked the bride to come in agreement with us across the world to pray for every one of our guests. So it doesn't matter when they pray for you, because you will need it at any point of time in the future. Amen?
Amen.
So, bride, no matter when you're listening to this, just bow your head and come into agreement with us to pray for this pastor, because we have highlighted now over 200 ministries across the globe. Just, we've been in existence almost 1 year now, and we are trying to get the point out there that God has a mission for every one of us, and if we will give him the pen to our life, he will take that story and finish it to reveal to mankind the beauty of his holiness. So let's all come together and pray now for Pastor Bill Jenkins.
Yeah.
Lord, we just thank you and give you praise today. We as the bride come together in agreement for our brother. Lord, we thank you for everything that you have done in his life to shape him, mold him, and make him like the potter does with the wheel, the clay, that you have molded him into the man of God that he is today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all the trials, the sufferings, the testings, the purging that you have put him through, Lord, to be able to release to the bride the heavenly revelation of the numbers and of prophetic revelation for the years to come. We thank you for that, God. We know that there was a price paid for that. And we thank you that you helped him with grace to be able to hang in there, to grab that vision, to be able to march forth in the army with the vision, purpose, and destiny that you have called him to do. Lord, we just give you praise for what you have done in his life, Lord. We know that you wrote his story before time began, Lord, and he gave you the pen and said, take it all, Lord, take my life and do what you want. And now look what you're doing, Lord. We just thank you, and we know there's so much more promotion ahead, Lord. There's so much more to be seen and done, Lord, and we just thank you for it ahead of time. So as the bride, we surround him with love right now, Lord. We surround his family with love. We surround them with our prayers, God. We know that our prayers are a beautiful incense to your nostrils, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We know that you have in heavenly storehouses everything our brother needs to accomplish the mission that you have called him to do, Lord. So we call it down in agreement with heaven, Lord. Every tool and strategy that he is going to need to accomplish the mission, let every vision come to pass in Jesus' name with no hindrance, Lord. May he be able to do all that his heart desires, Lord. We ask that you send forth a host of angels to come down to encamp about him, to encamp about his family, to encamp about his house, Lord, protecting his home, protecting his family, Lord, while he's out obeying you, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, that no weapon formed against our brother shall prosper, and all them that rise up against him shall fall, Lord. I thank you he's blessed coming in, and he is blessed coming out, Lord. We call it forth, Lord, all of the provision that he needs, Lord, that nothing is too big for you, God. And we thank you, Lord, that when you give the vision, you provide the provision. And we thank you and give you praise. So as a bride, we're calling that in, Lord, in Jesus' name. We pray for more intercessors. Lord, with him operating in the prophetic, he needs a good pool of intercessors. People, men and women, that will undergird his ministry, that will undergird his life, that will undergird his family, his children, and protect them with prayers, Lord, with intercession and with groanings, Lord, pleading and bombarding the heavens for his vision, Lord, and for his life, so that all of those visions, destiny, and dreams can all come to pass. Send him intercessors, people that will war on behalf of him, Lord. In Jesus' name, help him with laborers across his path, Lord, people that will help him to accomplish the mission and destiny, Lord. We give you glory and we give you praise for his life and what you're going to do. And for his wife, we pray healing from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. We pray that everything that her heart desires comes to pass in Jesus' name. We pray you send her intercessors, Lord. Send women to encamp about her, Lord, that will hold up her arms, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the vision that you have placed on the inside of her, and that vision shall come to pass, too, in Jesus' name. I thank you for the provision for that, Lord. I feel a greatness on the inside of your wife. I thank you, God. I give you praise. This is a team. This is a team, Lord. Oh, we give you praise, Lord. And for the children, Lord, we thank you for the destinies that are on his children. Lives, Lord. We call those out in Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for protecting them and being with them everywhere they go, Lord. They are anointed. They are anointed, and we thank you and give you praise for them walking in the destiny that you have lined up for them too as well, Lord. And any of their family members, Lord, brothers and sisters that are out there, Lord, we call them in. We call that greatness out too, Lord. We come against every lying devil on them in Jesus' name, Lord.
Yeah.
We thank you and give you praise, God, for his television show. Anoint that television show, his radio show, Lord. Send him more people, Lord, that will partner with him, Lord, to take it to the place that you have designed for it to do, Lord, because we know that every vision you give us, Lord, every dream you give us, every provision you give us is not ours. Lord, it is yours. We are just stewards of it. And I thank you, Lord. So we're calling and asking for all the provision and everything he needs to do what you've called him to do all the way around, Lord. In Jesus' name, we speak blessings in his life, Lord. And we thank you for him being on this broadcast and imparting into our states. And we call it forth. All the words he's spoken over every state in the United States shall come to pass in Jesus' name. We are upon the greatest revival awakening our nation has ever seen. And may the bride give you glory and honor, Lord, by stepping up to the destiny and purpose that you have called every one of us to do, Lord. So we thank you for this book. We thank you for releasing it on the earth today for such a time as this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, brother, we would love for you to pray for our ministry and pray for the bride real quick, please.
Wow. Well, after that prayer, man, I tell you what, you got me just all fired up again. But, Lord, I just pray for Dr. June. I pray for the bride. I pray for those who are listening. And, Lord, I release, Lord, the good prophetic, the encouraging prophetic, the positive prophetic thing to come to pass in their life. I come against any fear, any hindrance. And, Lord, we don't ask the enemy. We command the enemy to take his hand off. Lord, whether it be our minds, whether it be our relationships, whether it be our finances, our families, whatever way, we're not giving the enemy the right to refuse us. So we're not asking. We're commanding him to take his hands off of us in the name of Jesus.
Lord.
We plead the blood. We build the cross. And we declare victory over this ministry. God, I thank you, Lord, for promotion. I thank you, God, for advancement. I thank you, God, for elevation. I thank you, God, for causing divine connections to come into people's path that will cause, Lord, them to be elevated to another level, Lord. We're going higher, deeper, further with you. And, Lord, we're believing for you to manifest your glory in us in a new way. We just love you. We love, God, what you're doing in and through us. And, Lord, we're expecting. We got a spirit of expectation, Lord, in our hearts and in our lives, knowing that you are there. And, Lord, you are advancing the kingdom of God for such a time as this. And, Lord, we're looking forward to what's going to happen in and through our lives. And, Lord, we just bless this ministry. I bless my sister. Every need be met. Every problem be canceled. Every devil be cast out.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, give her words, Lord, that,
yes.
God, when she writes them down, minister to her, God. Cause her, Lord, to minister out of an abundance of your glory, out of your abundance, out of your spirit, abundance, Lord, of anointing out of her life, Lord, and cause greater results to happen, Lord, greater fruit to come forth in the name of Jesus.
Lord.
Amen. And amen.
Amen, Pastor. Thank you so much. You done got me fired up. I'm ready to run around Nashville.
Well, you do it, and make sure you get my book at churchofacts.org.
Yes, I meant to ask to tell them where they can find your book, churchofacts.org. I did post one of your
sermons.
You can
get it on Amazon. You can get it on eBay, Barnes & Noble, but the best place is to go to my website, churchofacts.org. Get it today. Anybody who orders it, I'm going to personally sign and autograph a copy for you and get it out to you. But go to churchofacts.org.
Aw. Okay, sir. Well, you have a great day today, and God bless you.
God bless you, hon. I love you. Love what you're doing, and be blessed.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.